And Gavin's, no, we're going to have our gospel reading first. Thank you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, grant me justice against my opponent. For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
So, Heavenly Father, as we open your holy word, will you speak to us by the power of your Spirit? Will you move us to action? Will you touch us with your love? In Jesus' name, amen. So as Mike's already mentioned, we're doing things a bit differently this morning for Luketide, this season when we remember Luke, the evangelist, who was also a doctor, and we just basically use that as an excuse to have a healing service, to pray for God's healing touch. And this happens to just be the passage in the normal lectionary for this Sunday, the parable of the widow and the unjust judge. Sometimes as a preacher, you feel like you're earning your money. Sometimes you've got a really challenging passage in front of you. If you've been doing the Bible reading plan, there have been some really challenging chapters of Ezekiel where he just seems to be measuring stuff. And now as we've begun the book of Daniel, there's some really, really wacky stories about Nebuchadnezzar. I love preaching on passages like that and drawing out what on earth is going on. But then some Sundays you get a passage like this, where in the first verse it tells you exactly what the story's about. And there doesn't really seem an awful lot for me to do, except to say, well, there it is. There's the story. Luke tells us this is a story that tells us that we need to pray always and not to lose heart. Verse 1, he says, pray always and not lose heart. It's a great little story, isn't it? It's a slightly unusual story about a widow who has suffered some sort of an injustice. And we know that throughout the Bible, widows are people who are particularly vulnerable. God has a particular concern for the vulnerable. And widows are in that position where, in those societies, you were either under the care of your father, if you weren't yet married, or you were under the care of your husband if you were married. So if you were a widow, you were in a really precarious position. Maybe your father's already died, your husband's died, and you are without protection. And in that situation, there is only this recourse to the judge in this story, this dodgy judge. We don't know exactly what the wrong is. It's quite possibly something that we would consider to be a criminal offence. But in the first century, they didn't really have a concept of criminal offences. So if something happened to you that was horrendous, you would have to go to court and explain what had happened and ask for justice. There were no police, there were no prosecutors, so it was up to you. So imagine this widow going to the judge, and I love the way he is described as having neither fearing God nor having any respect for people. And then a few verses later on, as if that wasn't bad enough, the judge says to himself, Although I have no fear of God and no respect of anyone, he seems very self-aware, doesn't he, for an unjust judge. He has no fear of God, no respect for anybody. He's a thoroughly bad judge. And yet, the widow persists on and on and on. You get a real sense of a sort of grinding down, wearing out. How long has this gone on for? Months? Years? And eventually the judge says, I will grant her justice, if only to shut her up, essentially. It's a slightly peculiar story, isn't it? Because normally when Jesus tells us stories about judges, we kind of assume that the judge is God. This is a story about how we relate to God the judge. But in this story, this judge doesn't seem very much like God at all. He seems quite the opposite of the sort of God that we would expect. We would expect God to be loving and gracious and quick to act and to be zealous for justice. This is a classic example of a Hebrew way of arguing, which was all about how much more, how much more. So I'm going to give you scenario A, and then how much more is that true in scenario B? So, for instance, scenario A, you can get to the Loxheath Centre quite quickly if you walk there. How much more true is it that you can get there quickly if you drive? You see, that's the way that the argument works. You know, if that trivial thing is true, how much more this very profound thing? And that's very much the argument that is being made here. If a thoroughly rotten judge who has no respect even for himself is going to, in the end, give justice, how much more will a loving God who is concerned with justice grant it quickly? And yet we're still left scratching our heads a bit, aren't we? Because we know in our experience that that quickly bit doesn't always come quite as easily as we would like, that we go to God with our prayers and our requests, and, well, sometimes he doesn't answer them very quickly at all. Maybe God has got more in common with the judge in this story than we thought, that sometimes things just seem to take time. That seems to be the nature of the story, and that seems to be the point of the story. We're being urged, Luke tells us, to keep on praying, even when we have to wait. To keep on praying and not lose heart, even when we can't understand why God isn't getting on and acting. What is going on in those sorts of situations? We've all been there, haven't we? We've all prayed for a situation which is clearly unjust and asked God to intervene, and, well, he doesn't seem to. Or we've prayed for somebody who clearly needs healing, and I often say, you know, if I was God, I would heal them. So why on earth doesn't God get on and heal people in every situation? And it's all about the big story of what's going on in the Bible. We need to remember that we are only part way through a big story, a story which began with God making a good and beautiful, very good world, but that it is corrupted, it is broken, it needs healing and restoring. And we know where the story ends. We've flipped to the end and read the last few chapters. We know at the end of Revelation that God does restore everything, that he does bring in perfect justice, perfect healing, no more pain, no more suffering. We know that's where this story definitely ends. There's no doubt about that. The difficulty is that we live in the bit in the middle. We live in the bit where God has acted decisively in Jesus. He has come, he has died, he has been raised back to life. We know that death is defeated. We've seen it in Jesus, who has come back from the dead. And yet, we're not at the end yet. We are still waiting for that final day when God the healer will heal and restore all creation. But here's the exciting bit. We know when we read the Gospels, we know when we read the Acts of the Apostles, that sometimes that end bit, the end of the story, breaks in here and now. We know that that final vindication of the judge of all creation, that he will bring justice, that he will bring healing, that he will bring wholeness, happens here and now, in our time, in our place. It just breaks in a little bit unexpectedly, a little bit unpredictably, but it definitely happens. We've seen it because it broke in with Jesus. We saw the healing that went wherever he went. We've seen the victory over death at the end of his life. And we've seen it in the Acts of the Apostles, that when they went and spoke in the name of Jesus and prayed in the name of Jesus, sometimes the Spirit just broke in and the kingdom of God, the final end of the story, was visible there and then as people were healed, as situations were miraculously changed. And so that's why Luke tells us this story. He says we need to pray always and not lose heart. Pray always. Why pray always? Because we're never sure when God is going to break in and bring us a little foretaste of the end of the story. We don't understand in the way that he does why he acts on one occasion and not on another. But we keep praying because we know it does happen. We keep praying because we long to see it happening more. And we don't lose heart. We don't lose heart because we know that on this occasion, when we pray, when we ask for healing, and we don't seem to see it straight away, well, we know that it will come in the end. We do not lose heart because we know how this story ends, and we know that it ends well. We know that healing, wholeness, restoration is the ultimate fate of this world because God is at work, and that is where he is taking us. So this morning, we want to invite you to keep praying, to pray always and not to lose heart. We're going to give you, all of you, an opportunity to be prayed for, specifically for your situation, for healing, for restoration, for wholeness. And whatever you're struggling with this morning, God wants to see you whole and restored. It's in his nature. It's who he is. He's a healing God. It may be that it's a relationship that has been under strain that needs healing and restoring. It may be that you are physically unwell, that there's a part of your body that is causing you pain or discomfort right now. It may be that it's something going on in your head and an illness that isn't visible to other people that needs to be touched by the love of God. We want to invite you to be prayed for today specifically for healing. We want to pray always and not to lose heart. So when we invite you up to receive communion in a few moments, we're going to invite everybody to come to the front this morning for communion. The bread and the wine will be distributed along the rail as usual. We won't have a station at the back. And once you've received communion, there'll be a chance to go to a number of prayer stations around the building. I think we're going to have four or five? Where's Dorothy gone? Number of prayer stations. You'll be guided there by the stewards if you're not quite sure where to go. You don't have to, of course. If you want to, you can just return to your seat. Or you can pray always with hope. As I was preparing, I had a real sense that there are some people here who are thinking, I have been praying. I have prayed persistently about this, and I never seem to see anything happen. Well, this passage is specifically for you. This is a passage about praying always and not losing hope. We know who God is. We know what he is like. We know where this story ends. I can't guarantee that something different will happen today, but I do know that that is what God invites us to do, to keep praying and not lose heart. So I hope you'll be able to take part. I hope that you will feel that this is something that you want to do as you've received communion, to go to a prayer station to be prayed for. If you're a bit uncomfortable with sharing with people what it is that you want prayed for, then on this week's notice sheet there is a very short prayer. It goes like this: May the Spirit of the living God, present with us now, fill you, body, mind, and spirit, and bring wholeness and healing to you and to those whom you love, in Jesus' name. That's the prayer. If you go to a prayer station and you just say, will you please pray for me, then that's what they will pray for you. If there's something specific you would like them to pray for you, then you can share that with them and they will pray for you about that. But this morning, shall we just do what Luke encourages us to do? Shall we just pray and pray and pray and not lose heart? Let me pray for us now as we prepare to share in this way. Father God, thank you for this story of persistence and of hope. And thank you that our hope is not in vain, because we know who you are. We know that this story ends well. Father God, I pray especially for anyone here this morning who has struggled over years and years with pain, who has prayed faithfully, and who wonders whether it's really worth praying again. Can I pray, Father, that you will stir them and encourage them by your Spirit? And I pray that you will help us not to lose heart as we look for the coming of your kingdom and as we pray for it to break in right now. We pray all these things in Jesus' name.